Hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints traditional online communion service. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. Well, good morning. My name's Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here at St Andrew's and All Saints, and it's great to gather to worship on this first Advent Sunday, and more on that in a moment. Before we get into our worship, we're going to be sharing communion, and you may want to get some bread or some wine or some grape juice to be able to symbolically share in that act of worship later on. The other thing is you might like to get a candle. We're going to be lighting an Advent candle in a moment, but you may like to get a candle and light that to contribute to your worship, the light of the world, Christ with us. So let us begin our worship this morning with our first hymn, King of Kings, Majesty. So the words and the music will be on the screen.
God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty. I lay my all before you. In royal robes, I don't deserve. I live to serve your majesty. Earth and love eternal, faithful and true, who bought the nations, ransomed souls, brought this sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in praise.
So today is the first Sunday of Advent, that time of anticipation and preparation for the birth of our Lord. And it's the great cry of the season of Maranatha, our Lord comes. And Reverend Helen Wilkinson is going to be teaching later into our Advent, the beginning of our Advent season. Now, as many as you know, the first Sunday of Advent is often dedicated, or is dedicated, to the patriarchs, people in Scripture, such as Abraham, the father in faith, and King David, from the line of which Jesus comes. But this year, we want to connect our Advent Sundays with the things that we've been learning from John Mark Comer's book about solitude, simplicity, Sabbath, and slowing down. And not to miss those truths as we come into our Christmas season. And so Advent 1, yes, we remember and celebrate the patriarchs, but we also want to encourage you to continue to dwell about thinking about silence and solitude. So let me light the first candle on our Advent wreath, thanking God for the patriarchs who've gone before us, setting the foundation in anticipation of Christ's coming. But we also want to dwell and remember and treasure silence and solitude. And so in a moment of quiet, let's enjoy the silence and solitude. We're now going to sing our second hymn this morning, O Come, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
So let's continue with our service. If you have the service booklets, we're going to be starting on page 23, but otherwise the words will come up on the screen. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. And so let us say together, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for this Advent Sunday. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on that last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, that we may rise to the life immortal through him who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now Reverend Helen Wilkinson is going to come and introduce the reading and then to teach on Isaiah for us. Helen.
I wonder whether, like me, you've thought that the discovery of a vaccine for COVID-19 has felt something of a turning point in the trajectory of human history. Here, at last, is a way forward out of a year of worldwide devastation, with its dark pall of sickness and death, economic deprivation, and seemingly endless cycle of lockdown and social isolation. Turning points affecting the whole of the planet don't happen all that often. Looking back on the 20th century, we might be able to name some, such as the assassination of an Austrian Archduke that ushered in the First World War. Sometimes they might be good news, like the discovery of penicillin. But frequently they're bad news, such as the release of the hydrogen bombs on the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. After that, the world was never the same again. From a Christian perspective, turning points are overruled by the hand of God and ultimately under his providence. And one of the most significant turning points in human history is the turning point that we prepare for in the season of Advent. You see, of all the greatest moments in world history, the two events which are the greatest turning points are the incarnation and the resurrection. The time when human beings turned away from God will be another turning point, but we haven't got time to deal with that one today. Easter is the most important turning point because Jesus rising from the dead means that death no longer has a hold over us. Eternal life is possible from that moment on. Christmas is the second greatest turning point because God was born into this world in order to make Easter possible. And Advent is the season that gives us permission to make time to get ready for the true meaning of Christmas. In the days when I used to teach teenagers, I remember that they would skip Advent altogether, and they'd just rush on to Christmas. They'd try to lighten the mood of a dark December day by saying, "Come on, miss, it's Christmas." It was a hint that rather than beavering away on their maths, they'd rather be on holiday celebrating. Waiting for time off was too much for them. "Isn't it Christmas already?" So I'd say to them, "It's not Christmas, it's Advent." A remark that was guaranteed to floor them. They'd heard of Advent, of course, because they all had, whatever their faith background or none, an Advent calendar. But they hardly any of them knew what Advent meant. So if they asked, "Advent, what's that?" I'd tell them that Advent means coming, from the Latin word Adventus. Christmas is coming, but it's not here yet. Advent is the bridge time, a time to prepare for what is coming. It takes us from where we are to where we will soon be. It's the beginning of a journey from a place of darkness to a future filled with light and hope. It comes at a time of year when the days are shortening quickly, when light is at a premium. It has its start in the darkest of days, when the gloom gathers so fiercely that it almost feels too much to bear. And this year, with the virus still circulating, and some of us shut in for a lot of the time, the gloom is worse than ever. And that's exactly where today's Bible reading begins. Isaiah chapter 9 comes in just at the end of the previous chapter, where we read in chapter 8 of Isaiah about darkness and fearful gloom. But for the prophet Isaiah, a turning point is coming for the people of God. So as we look at this Bible reading together, let's pray. Father God, we ask that today you will make your word real to us. Please speak to us today, we pray. Teach us something new. May our lives be transformed by what we hear, that you may be glorified in our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Look with me, if you will, at the start of today's reading. And it'd be handy to have a Bible open in front of you with Isaiah chapter 9 ready. Because in verse 1 of chapter 9 it says, "Nevertheless." Nevertheless. This is going to be rather like one of those changing rooms type programs where you see the before and the after picture, and then you're taken through a makeover that transforms the old and gloomy formy decor into something bright and shiny and new. It may start like this, the presenter says, but things will soon be transformed. Similarly, Isaiah the prophet says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in darkness. In the past, he, that is God, humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And here's what's to come after. In the future, God will honour Galilee of the nations. There may be gloom and distress now. Nevertheless, God is at work on a turning point. Now, we need a bit of background to understand the before picture for the people here. Isaiah spoke these words in the 8th century BC, at one of the darkest times in the history of the people of Israel. The mighty king of Assyria had conquered the northern provinces of Israel, Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, had been turned into Assyrian provinces. They were weakened and demoralized. Isaiah uses the word humbled in verse 1, and that literally means they have been treated with contempt. Nevertheless, he declares, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. The tide is about to turn. There is a new dawn coming. Even though things look black, God is on the move. For these people, there is a great future. And so we look ahead to the after picture. Because the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those looking in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice in the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Isaiah prophesies a new season when the land is transformed. There will be a new era of celebration and joy. It's like harvest time, one of the best times of year if you live in an agrarian society, a fruitful time when the gifts of God's people are celebrated. There will be thankfulness and rejoicing in the very presence of God. Turn from verse 3 to verse 5. God's people will celebrate the end of injustice and oppression from hostility. Every warrior's boot, it says in verse 5, used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. And as they enter into a victory won for them by God, God's people will enjoy freedom. Look at verse 4. There will be no burdens, no blows from tyrants. You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. The yoke of the oppressor has gone, and they will receive God's peace. The Advent journey, you see, lifts us out of gloom and despair and takes us to a new season of rejoicing. We travel from darkness into light, from despair to hope. It is the zeal of the Lord Almighty that will accomplish this, says Isaiah in verse 7. So what has God done to dispel the gloom? Well, the turning point comes in an event that is both unexpected and astonishing. The answer lies in the birth of a baby. A baby is coming who will turn the tide. This is the Advent expectation. Isaiah proclaims it loudly using the traditional Hebrew form of a public announcement for the birth of a baby. Look at verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase or greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. The new baby that is coming will be a royal ruler. The government will be on his shoulders. And more than this, the new baby is divine. He is God himself. The turning point of history is the incarnation. Just look at how amazing this new baby will be. The child that is coming is the mighty God, God himself in the body of a baby. He is the everlasting Father, that is, God the Father, the great I Am, from time immemorial. He is the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Son, who came to earth to bring us peace. Peace with God, peace with one another, and peace with ourselves. He is also the wonderful Counselor, God the Holy Spirit, because the word wonderful here has the meaning out of the ordinary or supernatural. The baby has the authority of the living God to bring hope to the world. The titles Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace encapsulate the whole being of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Advent journey is one in which we travel from the gloom of where we are to a Christmas season of joy as the baby is born. It's very easy in a normal year to want to miss out this part, to think like those students of mine that once you're in Advent, you're already at Christmas. But if you miss out on the journey, the arrival isn't half so satisfying or thrilling. I believe that the time of coronavirus gives us a special opportunity to savour the transition from darkness to light. To take some of the ideas that we've learnt from John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and to continue to practice them. Let's welcome silence and solitude as the blessing that they bring. We could take the time to reread some of the gospel stories of people who are waiting in hope and expectation. Zechariah in the temple, receiving a word from the Lord after centuries of silence. The Virgin Mary in social isolation, in a bubble with her relative Elizabeth as she anticipates her baby's arrival. Joseph coming to terms with God's calling on his life and what the birth will mean for him. Or we might take a fresh look at the slow, long journey of the Magi, as they piece together what God's turning point means, not only for them, but for the whole world. You can find some great books for Advent on websites such as Eden Books or St. Andrew's Bookshop, nothing to do with the St. Andrew's that we have here in Malvern, but a website nevertheless for getting Christian books. So, for instance, I see that the new Archbishop of York, Stephen Cottrell, who wrote the book Do Nothing to Change Your Life, has brought out what he calls an Advent calendar with a difference, entitled Let It Slow. To help us on our journey to find hope in the darkness, St. Andrew's and All Saints are celebrating the Advent season with a daily 5-minute video story of hope from one of our congregation members. You'll be able to find it on the website from the 1st of December. It would be great to include that as part of our daily reflections. From beginning to end, throughout the whole of history, God's plan has been to bring light to the darkness, clarity of vision in the midst of confusion, and illumination when all around there is gloom and despondency. At the start of time, we know from Genesis 1 that the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. At the end of the Bible, in Revelation 22, we read, there will be no more light. They will not need the light of a lamp. Sorry, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. God is the source of light. At the beginning and end of all things, God makes it clear that he is the one true source of light. And in between these two bookends, Isaiah sees light dawning in the darkness. And we can do so too. That's why this reading from Isaiah 9 is frequently used at this time of year. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And when the baby is born, it's as if the sun is climbing high in the sky, as we read at the start of John's Gospel, that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That's why it's no mistake that artists over the centuries who have meditated on the baby's arrival have portrayed a child who radiates light. We see shepherds and magi who have hope dawning in their eyes as they peep over the edge of the manger. The baby himself radiates the brightest of light. To see him is to see life in a new way. Here is the sovereign, the saviour, as a baby in human flesh, in real time, so different from how we can have imagined a saviour to be, that he takes your breath away. And so we need time and space in Advent to reflect, in anticipation of what this turning point of Christmas has to offer. Advent is just the start. The light has dawned. A new hope is certain. God has his hand on history, and therefore we have hope. We are now going to look at a photograph of a sunrise over Malvern. And we're going to take a few moments of quiet to reflect. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and to imagine that you're waiting in darkness. And then we'll see what happens as we wait. Our eyes closed. We are in Advent waiting, in anticipation, in expectation. And now the long wait of the dark night is over, and the sun is coming up, and now it is so bright that you can't look at it for long, but your whole experience is changed. Light floods your world with warmth. Hope dawns afresh as you look out onto a new day.
Thank you, Helen, so much. And so let us take her call to that anticipation, that Advent anticipation of darkness turning into light. Let's take that into our intercessions now. And during our intercessions, there's a response. I'm going to say Maranatha, and if you would respond, Amen, come Lord Jesus. So Maranatha, Amen, come Lord Jesus. In joyful expectation of his coming this Christmas, coming to our aid, let us pray to Jesus. Come to your church, Lord, at this season. Help us to live in the light of your coming and give us a longing for your kingdom. Maranatha. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to your world, Lord Jesus. We pray for our nation at this time. We pray for our government. We pray for our leaders nationally and locally. We pray for our leaders of the NHS and business. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the breakthrough in the vaccination. And we continue to pray for all those involved. May we see the vaccination released into the nation and around the world in the coming weeks, Lord. Maranatha. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to the suffering as Saviour and Comforter. We pray, Lord Jesus, for the sick, for the lonely, for the lost. We pray for those devastated economically by the pandemic. We pray for those who are out of work and have lost their jobs. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that the gloom that has been spoken of by our Chancellor this week will be turned around by you, Lord Jesus. Help us to lift our eyes to you this Christmas, knowing that you are our great provider. You are our source of health and of hope and of purpose. Break into our lives, Lord, where we struggle with sickness and distress, set us free to serve you forever. Maranatha. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come from heaven, Lord Jesus, with power and great glory. Lift us up to meet you. Lord, we pray for our community, and we pray for all the many ways in which the churches of Malvern are reaching out to the community this Christmas to serve those in need, to bring hope, and to be the light in the world. Lord, we pray that people's hearts would be stirred to connect with you, to connect with those who know the message of hope, the good news, who know the goodness of the baby born in Bethlehem. Lord, we give you all that we plan at St. Andrew's and All Saints. We offer the plans of our services, our Advent calendar, good news testimonies, that these would go out to have a far reach to touch the lives of many in our community. Maranatha. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, do not delay. Give new courage to your people who trust in your love. By your coming, raise us to share in the joy of your kingdom on earth as in heaven, where you live and reign with the Father and the Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We are now coming to share the bread and wine around the table. But as we do that, let us share a sign of peace with one another. I hope you're with others, that you can express that peace. But if not, in your hearts, release it in the heavenlies, where we are all connected and are one body. So, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The peace of God be with you and also with you. So let us bring our Advent anticipation to the Lord's table this morning as we share communion. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, that you might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. So on the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of him." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit on this bread and this wine. May it be to us the body and blood of our dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. So every time we eat this bread and drink this wine, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace. And so draw near with faith in the Spirit. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And so if you have bread or some wine and some grape juice, wherever, symbolically, why don't we join in together with sharing the bread and the wine. If you don't have those things, we are joined together in the Spirit, and we do this by faith. Lord, in this Advent season, help us to be still and dwell in the preparation. Help us not to rush on and anticipate or draw Christmas into the now, but help us to be a part of the preparation and the readiness for the birth of Jesus. Amen. And so let us say together, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And the Advent post-communion prayer. O Lord our God, make us watchful and keep us faithful as we await the coming of your Son, our Lord, that when he shall appear, he may not find us sleeping in sin, but active in his service and joyful in his praise, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're now going to sing our third and final hymn, O Guide Us, O Great Redeemer. That this anthem of asking God to guide us through this Advent time. So we are coming to the end of our worship from this morning. So a couple of notices before we finish. and I'll say the blessing. But the first thing is that Helen in her sermon mentioned the Advent calendar. And this is throughout Advent. There are going to be short testimonies from people in our church community about their journey with the Lord. And I'd encourage you to connect with those. Perhaps you want to share those with people who don't yet know the Lord. A different approach to an Advent calendar. So do connect with that. The Christmas services and the details of those, the publicity are all coming together. They'll be out on the website, and also the Christmas publicity is being delivered, I think, this week to our community. So again, be aware of that. The other thing is I want to let you know about the Yellow Hearts of Remembrance. And the Yellow Hearts have become a symbol associated with those that have died during the COVID, or those that have died because of COVID or during the COVID. And this coming week is a national week of awareness of grief. By a number of charities pulling that together. And so what we're doing, how we're combining that, is that we are going to create on the railings outside St Andrew's a place where people can gather to remember, to recognise how hard this year is, but also hopefully connect with the message of hope that Christmas brings, and to be able to think hopefully about the new coming into the new year. So we're going to have a space, you'll see yellow hearts and information out on the railings. So encourage people to come up, spend some time, perhaps tie a ribbon, and to remember those lost, but to find hope for the future in this season. So do connect with that. Lots more information on the weekly notice sheet, so do read that. So let me finish with an Advent blessing. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you. Scatter the darkness from before your path and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you today and every day through this Advent season. Amen. So bless you. Goodbye. It's been wonderful to worship with you. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.